Today we observe the Feast of St. Matthew, the Apostle and Evangelist, and we mark that day, the day of one who died for Christ's sake and gave a testimony even unto the death. We mark it with the color red. So it is a high holy day, a red letter day, as we venerate St. Matthew, who was called to be an apostle, and we hear of the time when he met Christ for the first time, we understand in the Gospels, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me," and Matthew left the table, the receipt of custom, and followed him. Matthew was at that time a tax collector. He was gathering in the taxes as one who was an Israelite among the Jewish people, but who had been co-opted by the Roman government as one that was an operative for the oppressive government of the Romans. And so this invading force, the occupying force of the Romans, was co-opting people like Matthew to help with their taxing scheme to drain the economic resources out of Israel and send them to Rome and for the continuous oppression of the people. And here is the difficulty that Matthew would be in. He's one that is despised by his own people, and he has an occupation that can be dangerous because at times people would revolt against this taxation and they would take it out on the closest ones they could find, the tax collectors, and they could be killed. A lot of times they had to have a Roman guard to be protected. But why was he doing it? Well, he made a lot of money. You could get rich doing this. And so in the other gospel accounts, the synoptic gospels of Luke and Mark, Matthew is called Levi, his other name Levi, and he is making a lot of money as a tax collector. He's getting rich. But when Jesus comes and says, "Follow me," Matthew leaves everything behind. He follows him without delay. And so he is an example to us that the one who is, making filthy lucre, who's making all kinds of money, when he sees the real treasure, he leaves the worldly treasure behind and follows Christ as the real treasure. So it's an important lesson for us. That's why we pray in the collect that God will give us grace, that we will not have an inordinate love of riches, but instead, and not a covetous heart, but that we will follow Christ like Matthew did. And so he's an example to us. Here we have the continuous reminder that money is not where it's at. Not that we can't use money. It's something that we can utilize for the good ends. And our substance that we have is a means to an end, but it's not the end. And oftentimes we are tempted through the greed of our own hearts or for the world, from the world, the flesh, and the devil, to make money the thing. And so in a worldly way, we can see that a lot of people really think that a person, you should really take a measure of the man by how much he owns, by what he possesses. But the Lord is very patient and careful in his instruction that a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. So it's not what we have that makes us valuable. It's who we are in God that makes us valuable. So think about it. When you were born naked into the world, did God love you any less than he loves you now, even though now you have possessions? You have, clothes and cars and houses and maybe boats and cabins or whatever else you may have. Maybe you have a stock portfolio now or something. Because you have that now, does God love you more than he did when you were born naked into the world? We would say, no, that's ridiculous. God doesn't love us more because we have more stuff. So that's not the measure of a person. Or if, God forbid, you lost everything today and suddenly you're stripped of all your possessions, does God love you any less now that you don't have your stuff with you? It's just you and God now. Without your stuff, does he love you less because you don't have your things? No, that's absurd. So we understand that in truth, the real measure of a person isn't made by what they have, it's by who they are in God, made in his image, one whom Christ loves, one for whom he died. It is the love of God that gives us our value. And so that is the real essence in our treasure. So we don't make, we have to be reminded of this, but the idol must be smashed. We don't follow the mammon as our God. We follow the one true God. And Matthew is the great example of that. He leaves his stuff behind to follow Christ without delay. And in the same way, when we are put to the test, may we also leave our stuff and follow Christ. May he be our treasure. Matthew also teaches us, and we venerate the saint today by remembering his name, by proclaiming what he did, by vesting in the color of the martyr, red, and the festal color of the day is red, and a celebratory day, a red letter day, a day of celebration. Why? Because we see that Matthew is an apostle and an evangelist. So he is called to witness to Christ as an apostle, to be one that will take what he has experienced in Christ and proclaim it to the world. He is among the apostles, one who has seen the miracles of Christ, who has heard his teaching. He has seen the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. He has been transformed by the love of Christ. He now takes what he has seen and goes forth and bears witness to it. And so the first thing is that he is one who has experienced the love of Christ. Then, having experienced that, he will testify to it. So we see the testimony of Matthew in his gospel, for he is the author of the Gospel of Matthew. And this gospel is very important in the life of the church, obviously. When you see, sometimes you'll see in Christian art what is called the tetramorph, and it's four figures of the four evangelists, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. In fact, in our church, we have a representation of the tetramorph in the Cave Creek cross. So if you look at the top of that monument, that preaching cross, at the very top is Christ, the victorious Lamb, in the rondelle. And then you have the four evangelists taking the good news of Christ, the risen Lord, to all the world. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is represented as a winged man. So he's a man. Many think that it's because he emphasizes the humanity of Christ in his gospel account, starting with the genealogy of Christ. But he is represented as a man who has wings. Wings because the angels are the messengers of God, and so are the evangelists. They're his messengers to bring the evangelion, the good news to a dying world. And so he's one of the four evangelists, and we see him portrayed in that way. There is this beauty of his testimony that is given. If you read the Gospel of Matthew, when you read the Gospel of Matthew, you'll realize again the gift that he has given to us personally and to the church as one who bears witness. And that is what he is called to do. He is an apostle. He has experienced the gifts of grace. He now brings that testimony to the world. And what is the other character of one who bears witness? He will suffer for the sake of bearing witness. So one who has seen truth and then testifies to the truth will suffer for the truth. And this is just part and parcel of what it means to bring the light of Christ into a world that is wrapped in darkness. So the light of Christ shone in the world, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And Jesus said, "Marvel not," or rather, St. John says, "Marvel not, my brethren, that the world hate you." And Jesus does promise to those who follow him that they will be at enmity with the world. That is just the nature of it. So we see that with all the apostles, they bear witness of the goodness of God, and it brings persecution to them. And ultimately, for each of them, it brings their martyrdom. We see the veracity of their message because they're willing not only to put their money where their mouth is, like St. Matthew believes it to the point he leaves the pursuit of filthy lucre behind, right? Money's not the object, Christ is. So he's can be believed that he's not putting money at the front, but Christ at the front. And then ultimately, he is to be believed because not only does he put his money where his mouth is, he puts his blood where his mouth is. His testimony is true because he will not recant from it or deny it or deny Christ, even though it means his death. And so we see that with the apostles are believable because they believe the testimony even to their death. And that's why we celebrate them as a church, the great noble army of martyrs, because they loved Christ even though it cost them their life. And so we see that nature of testimony. What does it mean to be a witness? It means to see the truth, believe on the truth, suffer for the truth. Witness, another word for witness in the Greek, martyr, And so that is the nature of martyrdom, of the martyr, one who bears witness and suffers for the sake of that witness. So today we are encouraged by this, encouraged knowing that Christ is calling us, let us follow him without delay and leave aside the idols, let them be smashed, let us follow the one true God. Let us experience his goodness, be willing for his sake to testify to it, not be afraid to suffer for it. For Christ says to us, in this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.